Here we go. Okay. This should have been the opener of this show, but we'll do it right now. How the hell can you possibly love or value anything if you hate yourself or if you have no sense of self-value? Testing 1, 2, 3. Checking out this mic. Seeing how it sounds. Hello, everybody. Welcome. I'm going to get rid of these big, bulky headphones. That is much better. I do not want to hear myself talking. And we're here. We're on. We're recording. This is great. I'm happy to be here. Thank you so much for joining me, wherever you are watching or listening. You can obviously, if you're not the person that likes to sit down and watch videos, you can, of course, listen to this MP3 if you follow me on Podbean or iTunes. You can get the MP3s there. Thank you so much for coming into this one, guys. We got some tough questions to ask you today in continuation from our last discussion. You can check that video out. If you haven't seen it, it was on the subject of self-esteem, self-worth, how to understand that definition, why it's valuable, how it's relevant. I actually equated it to a matter of life and death. And I hope you check that out. This is going to be part two, which is a follow-up. I have taken a look at some of the questions and comments that I got. A thank you to everybody. I got some amazing feedback. And it seems like more people were listening to it MP3 style. I looked at my demographics and so far I'm at like 80% of people just listen. And that's cool because I'm like that. I mean, there's times where I like to watch videos. But most of the time it's usually on in the background because I'm always doing stuff, washing dishes, cleaning up the yard, doing housework, or I'm on the road somewhere and there's nothing better than turning off the radio, which is loaded with all kinds of just boring material, the same three songs and too many commercials that are annoying. So if you're like me and you'd rather just listen straight through to something, then you can go ahead and grab the MP3 of this. I do have a couple slides today, and I'm also going to be talking about an article that somebody sent me in response to the video that I did, where someone was essentially trying to debunk the idea of self-confidence and self-esteem and self-worth, if you can believe it. If you can believe it. So I'm going to get into that. And what I want to talk to you guys about today was the antithesis to self-esteem and self-knowledge and all these things we talk about. And the antithesis to that would be what we call, what we lovingly call loser mentality, victim mentality, etc. Have you ever met these people? Have you been one of these people? I've definitely had my time in that mode of thought. I see how disastrous it is to your own personal success, your own personal, I guess, just life in general, and how disastrous it can be if it becomes like a virus that overtakes our society and sends us into the apocalypse. And if you think that's a dramatic statement, stay with me. We're going to get into it. But essentially, I need to talk about this idea in the context of self-esteem, because if I don't talk about it in a way that's going to relate to you, then all it is just more commentary on world events, political events, history, philosophy, whatever. And I'd rather do those subjects. Those subjects are very interesting, obviously. But they don't have any real substance or meaning to them or relevance to you if you can't take that back to you. If you can't bring home some kind of solution that you can apply right away, right now, it's kind of worthless, isn't it? I mean, I've been thinking about this and it's, you know, I'm thoroughly interested in the drama that is the political world and, you know, taking a look at the popular discussions, the hot topics that are out there right now. It's all very interesting. But I can't help but think, you know, we always have to bring this back to some level of practical application in our lives, or otherwise knowledge itself would be useless. If you didn't somehow directly benefit from learning subjects that are of interest to you, and you had no idea of figuring out why you're interested in those subjects to begin with, if you have no way of understanding your own biases and the reasons why you formulate specific opinions versus other opinions, and the reasons you make certain choices versus other choices, if you don't have any kind of compass or map or guideline with that as to just get a basic understanding as to the root of your psychology, the root of the way you think about things, if you can't think about that in relation to you, how can you critique effectively or comment effectively or have any level of understanding of what's happening with other people? I mean, even in work, even in your social life, even just friends and family, people that you know and you talk with all the time, or people you don't know but you just keep running into, you know, or you know, people online when you're chatting about subjects on forums or on Facebook or whatever, or tweeting with people. I feel like this information is extremely valuable because it gives you a roadmap to understanding what the hell's going on. I mean, if you can understand yourself, you can understand the world, as many great philosophers have said, because you only have yourself to really answer to at the end of the day, and everything that you're going to produce in terms of a worldview or a personal philosophy is anchored to the view that you hold of yourself. This is a belief that I have. I, in the last presentation, gave my case for it, just basic. I mean, we can dissect it and really analyze it and add more into it. I quoted some great people, some great minds that have thought about these subjects. People like Nathaniel Brandon, Bruce Lee, Michael Tesserian. There's so many others as well. I just focused on some key people that I feel really just encapsulated it beautifully, simply. And then I sat back and I waited to see what the comments were going to be, what people were messaging me and emailing me about, the concerns that they have. I got a lot of positive feedback from it, and I'm just very grateful. Got some new patrons, which is always great. Welcome if you're listening to this on my Patreon. Thank you so much. I really appreciated it. It keeps me going. It helps me continue to do this work. But I mean, even for those of you out there that have been watching this on YouTube or wherever else, thank you so much for your comments and your contributions as well. I appreciate it. And as I said in the last video, I'm an open book. I'm here investigating these questions. That's all I'm doing. I'm a student of life. And what I've found is that the more I learn and the more I study and the more subjects I try to grapple with and understand, the more questions I end up having. And if you don't have a way of bringing that external knowledge internally into your own being, then it can be very overwhelming. And we talked about in the last show about how difficult it is to figure out, who do I trust? What do I believe? Which way's up? What's the right way? What's the wrong way? We, you know, it seems like in this time in which we live of moral relativism, and I would just call it extremism. It's extremism on every level. We're losing sight of ourselves in the process. We're losing sight of what a true, healthy self-identity is. And we're also forgetting how important that is to every area of your life. And you are an individual unit of what this thing is that we call society. And so if you're not healthy, and then your neighbors aren't healthy and the people around you aren't healthy and you don't have access to the information, you weren't raised with this information, and you weren't actively pursuing a better life, then we start to see things decay in our society as a whole, in the collective level of things. And I know I'm a personalist. I'm a person that believes in strengthening society from the individual up instead of the top down. But I still have a value for the sphere of reality, which is the group, the tribe, the people, you know, the people that you interact with. We are tribal by nature. It's biologically hardwired into us. There's a survival instinct that is there to team up with other people and accomplish things. And then we tend to form biases towards our own group. And then we look at other groups and we go, oh, look at them. Ah, they're different from me. They don't think the way I think. They don't adhere to the rules of my group or my team. So therefore, I'm not going to critique them logically and try to find a middle ground or at least have rational debate and discourse. I'm going to attack them and we're going to start wars. And here we go. So there's a value of looking at all sides of this. And I would say that just to sort of help with some of the understandings of these terms like individualism, collectivism, there's a positive form of individualism and there's a negative form of it. There's a positive form of collectivism and there's a negative form of it. And the negative form of both of those, individualism and collectivism, are rooted always back in the ideas and the mode of thinking and the worldview of the individual on his own or her own, or the individuals that make up a particular group. So no matter where you go, you can't escape the necessity to take care of your own house, take care of your own health, take care of your own mind, and to apply yourself and to develop some anchor points so that you can at least navigate clearly and you know clearly, crystal clearly, what your beliefs are, where you stand, what your values are. It all stems from what your values are. I mean, we use that word integrity. Integrity would be operating within one's values. Now, there's probably a better definition, but I'm just thinking about it in this light where, you know, you act within your own values and you stay true to your values. And, you know, whether people agree or disagree with your actions, you're standing in the truth of what you value. Now, if you're a psychopath, you're a serial killer, obviously you have different values than somebody that is a doctor or somebody that is trying to help or be a teacher or whatever. So then the question becomes, well, what are the right values and what are the wrong values? Well, these are not things, in my opinion, and in the opinion of many great minds that have looked at this, these are not things that just stem from a group consensus only. I mean, we can have consensus on the fact that you should cultivate your own view of yourself and the world, and it should be a healthy one. We can all have a consensus on, say, things like, yeah, we have a right to free speech. We have the right to free association. We have a right to owning our own property. We have the right to critique things that we disagree with. We have the right to hold the beliefs that we have so long as we don't use force against other people. There are things that we can have a consensus on, but if our belief systems only stem from consensus and there's no introspection, there's no ability to critique the consensus, this is the thing, we can't critique the consensus, trance, then the individual is at a disadvantage because you want to contribute to society, you want to be a part of the team and all that kind of stuff, but you can't because you disagree with the majority of the ideas that are propagated throughout that team or that group or that hive. So this is where collectivism can break down politically. And as an individual, if you remove the collective sphere for a minute and you just think as an individual and you go, okay, well, what are my needs? Okay, I need to be able to breathe air. I need to be able to eat food. I need to be able to drink water. I need a few other things, need some entertainment, need a little bit of love and affection, need to, because we are social creatures, it's not healthy to just lock yourself up in a cage for the rest of your life or go exclude yourself on a mountain, although there's times for going out and being solo and doing all that. Actually, I think that's very valuable. It's very important. You should do it daily. You should have alone time regularly. But obviously things can happen in extremes. And if you are subject to the will of all the people around you at all times, and something happens where you disagree with the way that that relationship is happening, and you don't have any kind of anchor point as to what your values are and what you believe in, then you're going to just go along with the program and you're not going to pull yourself away long enough just to reflect on what you're doing, what your beliefs are, what your opinions are, what your life experience is and how it relates to your life and, you know, where you want to be, what your goals are, you know, like your goal, you can't have goals without having a sense of self-value or having any values at all, or having a some kind of a worldview or a personal philosophy that's going to help you develop goals that are in line with who you are and what you really want in life. I mean, it's good to have goals, but what if they're not even your goals? What if those goals were implanted in you by your parents, by your teachers, by the society or whatever? So then, you know, at what point are you actually free? If that's all you are, is you're just sitting on a current and you have no boat, no oar, you're just flowing, and you, and if at any moment you get this feeling where you're like, hey, I kind of disagree with that, but I don't know why I disagree, and I can't articulate my opinion as to why I disagree, because I've done no self-reflection, I've done no empirical research, or I really don't even know what I value. I just have this feeling that I don't agree. Then you're going to have a weak argument, and the collective will consume you, and you will just go along with the program. I mean, you can see this in gangs. Why do young kids, especially young males, why do they gravitate towards gangs? And I'm talking about violent gangs, not just hanging out with some friends and okay, you're getting a little bit of shit now and then, that's okay. We're talking about like some of the stuff that young gangs made up of young males, like 12, 13 years old, some of the stuff that they are capable of doing and the horrific shit they're doing right now in record numbers is, that should be putting alarm bells off in everybody to go, well, what is going on? What is happening? And I think it's a decay of our system of values. We're not teaching these values to our kids. The vast majority of the information these young kids are getting is disempowering. There's no, because everything's relative now, and there's no such thing as self-critique, and philosophy has been thrown out the door because, like, we don't need philosophy. We have science, and we have cyborgs coming in a couple of years, so we don't need philosophy anymore. You don't need to know who you are, why you're here, and where you're going. Those are the old questions. That's old. Old people think about that. Don't read the old books. Read the new books. I would say there's great new books. I'm just saying it's just this sort of idea that, hey, we're going to reframe everything about who you are. And then all the media and all the stuff that they're consuming is extremely violent. It's narcissistic, which is not the same thing at all as self-esteem, as I've defined in the previous show and many other vlogs and rants that I've done and posts I've done. It's the opposite. Narcissism is a product of no self, a product of somebody that has no anchors, no philosophy, no integrity, and truly no self-value. Because if you don't, what did I say? I had a note here. Let me see if I can. Yeah, here we go. Okay. This should have been the opener of this show, but we'll do it right now. How the hell can you possibly love or value anything if you hate yourself or if you have no sense of self-value? So if you see all these young hooligans and these teens and these school shooters and this, you know, how many teens now are on antidepressants and all this medication, or they're getting into the world of drugs, or they're trying to find all forms of escapism, and they're having, they don't have a clear sense of identity. They don't have a direction in life. We can get into the destruction of the family unit, and we can get into all that. Maybe we'll do that in future shows. I can share my opinion on that, but there's many things that are causing this, and it's not the things that themselves, like, there's nothing wrong. If you want to listen to music that has all kinds of crazy stuff in it, or if you want to play video games, if you want to do, it's not necessarily the things itself. It's that you have kids that are engaging in these activities, and there's definitely a lot of propaganda out there, in my opinion. There's definitely a lot of negative things. And that's the overall impression that these kids are given. And there's no anchors given to them. So there's no, like, you know, it's so funny because I critique religion. I critique the faux pas and the flaws in religion. But then at the same time, I see the value of having a worldview and a philosophy and all these things. I personally value philosophy more than just religion, because religion produces dogma, and it produces more tribalism. And it produces its collectivism at the extreme level too many times. That doesn't mean that religious ideas are fundamentally that way. It just means that that's what it turns into. Whereas philosophy is all about you. It's all about your relation to ideas and the fact that you should be able to juggle multiple perspectives at once in your mind, and you should entertain different ideas, and you should explore, and you should navigate yourself towards trying to find your place in this world. And you can't find your place in this world if you don't do any kind of introspection, or if you don't have some system of establishing self-value and self-worth, because the lack of that will determine, as we're going to see, the lack of that will determine your worldview, which will determine your actions in the world. It's pretty simple. We view the world through the lens of the way we view ourselves. We view other people and our interactions with other people purely through this lens of it's a filtration lens of the way we view ourselves. And so we have to keep that in mind. So if we see a lot of negative, toxic people walking around, and we see this especially in the young kids, and it's a great example because they're young, they're naive, they don't know yet, they don't have any life experience. So if we're seeing them act out in a disproportionately negative way, then that should be a signal to all parents, all teachers, all social planners and people that study sociology, psychology, all these things. This should be a huge indication that, okay, something's wrong. We're trying to figure out what it is. And I personally believe that this subject of self-esteem is a huge component of it. And in fact, it might even be driving the entire thing when you really boil it all down. Because when you're dealing with someone that has no self-worth, no self-value, no healthy self-esteem, they're driven towards externalization, narcissism, this obviously self-hatred, and that clearly ends up influencing the relationships they have or don't have, the actions they take or don't take in their life. And it overall can produce what we're going to talk about here, which is sort of this victim ideology, oppressor versus oppressed, and it produces losers, plain and simple. And I don't want to see people turn into that. I don't want to see people do it. When I think of a loser, when I define that word, or a victim mentality person, I'll just say this. I look at every human being as, you know, a microcosm of the macrocosm. Everybody has value. I don't care what your background is, what your race is, what your gender is, what you identify as, what you don't identify yourself as, what political affiliation you have or don't have. You're a human being. You have value intrinsically. But the value that you have is subject to your will to either exercise, to recognize, and to develop and create. We talked about in the last show how to create the self, as opposed to having your self-identity created for you. It's all related. It's all related. Everything is interrelated. And so if you're so when I think of a loser, I think of somebody that is actively trying to avoid winning. Like, it's not that you tried and failed that you're a loser. I say this to the kids that I teach jiu-jitsu to all the time. I'm like, you shouldn't feel like you're a loser. You shouldn't feel like you're weak or you're any of these things just because you try something and you fail at it. Trying something and failing at it is the most beautiful thing you can do, because it's the best lesson you're ever going to learn, right? So the key to the idea of understanding what's the loser versus the winner, let's just keep it super simple. I don't even like those terms, but let's just use them because they're popular and people understand. What determines the difference is that a loser is actively seeking to continue losing because of the fact that they hate themselves deep down, or they despise themselves, or they have no system of self-value and they're lost. So they are now almost as like out of spite, seeking failure, and they're also seeking failure in others, and they're they become very envious and jealous people that want you to fail as well. They don't want to be lonely in their suffering. So they are actively avoiding brightening their consciousness. And some of this is subconscious, okay? Probably a lot of it, but that's how I define a loser. And my job is to help save people from loser mentality. It's like a virus. So if I ever say somebody's a loser or somebody's a victim or whatever, I'm not like downplaying their humanity. I'm not critiquing their value as a human being, okay? I'm just critiquing the ideology. I'm critiquing the virus. It's like saying somebody that has, I hate cancer. I hate disease and sickness. I don't hate the people that have it. I don't blame the people that have it. I understand there are mechanisms and forces at work in nature, and also, you know, life choices and biology and genetics and psychology and all these things that can produce a negative state of health in your body. I'm not hating the person that's suffering from that. I'm hating the fact that, I don't like the fact that there is a willingness to continue with it, to keep it. And I don't like the thing itself, because I don't like things that are destructive. I don't like seeing people fail. I don't like seeing people wallow in self-pity. I don't like it when I do it. All the things I'm telling you guys, I'm not sitting here telling you, hey, I've got it all figured out, guys, so listen to me. I'm just as much of a student as this. I am studying this alongside you, and I'm showing you what I've discovered because I think it's brilliant and I want to see more people talking about it. So those who fail to achieve healthy self-esteem automatically default to faking their confidence and faking. And when you fake your confidence, when you fake your self-worth, you start to fake your self-identity, and you start to fake the way you relate to other people. And then your life becomes fake and you live an inauthentic life. And then that produces despair, depression, anxiety. So who wouldn't hate that? Who wouldn't want to see an end to that? That is a disease. That is like somebody that is now sick. That is a sick person. You got to love that person. You got to have empathy for that person. You do everything you can to help that person. But at the end of the day, you can't force people to change. You can't. That's a violation of free will. I don't believe in that. You can't force people to be things and do things and do that. All you can do is try to be a good influence. So I was inspired to start speaking my mind publicly and doing this kind of work, because I feel like I learned a lot of valuable lessons going through this struggle myself. And I still go through the struggle, guys. I'm not immune to it. It's a tough road to figure out your place in the world. But that's life. That's what life is. That if you realize that this is what life really is, this is all the things that you think matter. You got to ask yourself, why do they matter? They matter to you because they're relatable to you. So that means it all comes back to you. All knowledge is self-knowledge. So if you don't do any work on yourself, you're going to turn into a weak-minded, victim mentality stricken loser. And I don't want to see that happen to you, and I don't want to see that happen to anybody. But all I can do is put this forward. You can take it for what it's worth. You can choose to agree to disagree. You can choose to take my comments and my advice or not. I mean, and that's, you know, or even not even me. Forget about my advice. Who am I? I'm just a guy ranting on YouTube right now. Take it from the people that I referenced that are, you know, brilliant at this. They're better than me at this. And it's kind of funny, speaking about this for a quick sec, let me go on this. Speaking of haters. Haters, there's another one. Haters. If you do, okay, so here we go. So I was on my Patreon doing a little video for them over there because I wanted to get some feedback. I'm like, hey, what do you think? You know, what do you think about the last video? Do you have any questions? I was thinking about doing this show about the antithesis of self-esteem, and I wanted to get some feedback from people. And as I'm doing this, I'm reading comments and whatever, and I start to see this, like, people like hating me on there. And I'm like, whoa, what happened here? We were just talking about this. Why? What is it about me that you don't like? And there was everything from, like, you wouldn't believe some of the shit people write. The accusations, the time spent writing up this big paragraph about what it is about me they don't like. I'm sitting there going, okay, well, that's an interesting, I mean, I don't mind critiques. I don't mind constructive criticism. I don't mind that at all. I don't even mind debate or argumentation on certain things. I think it's valuable to do that to an extent, as long as it's peaceful. But you start to ask yourself, is it really that there's a legitimate critique about, it could be everything from the shirt I'm wearing. Like, hey, I got a Johnny Cash shirt on today. Maybe there's a lot of people out there don't like Johnny Cash. Like, Dave, Johnny Cash was part of the Illuminati and you're wearing it, so you must be part of the Illuminati. Like, you know, these morons. Or people don't like my face, or they don't like the way I talk, or they don't like the stuff I comment on, or they don't like the fact that I have a Patreon page and that I'm, you know, I'm an entrepreneur, and that I, you know, they don't like whatever it is they don't like. They got some nitpick, some gripe with me. There's no coherence to the discussion. And you start to ask yourself, well, why do people do this? Why do people waste their time hating on you? I mean, again, to separate hating from value, like real critiques and legitimate points of contention, like I'm totally open and up for that. But if, let me just say this, if you go on a track, and this is what I was saying in my little discussion I had with some people online. I was like, if you go on any track of trying to better yourself in any way, and it's not just that you're trying to be successful and make it big and make millions of dollars or anything. It's any level of success above average. And average today is a pretty low freaking bar. So if you even put your shoulders back and stand up straight, or start going to the gym a little bit, or changing your diet, or just doing one thing to change the way your life is because you want to better yourself, expect haters and losers and victims to start hurling all kinds of weird shit at you. Expect it. It's like a natural byproduct of success of any level. So when you see that a huge amount of people choose to waste time and energy critiquing you for going out and bettering your life, or let's say you're a musician and it took you forever just to get the courage up to go on YouTube and play a song, and or go to that open mic and just go in there, go to a karaoke night and just get up on the mic and sing because you just love singing and you want to sing and you want to inspire people and you love how music lights people up and you like performing and you like you want that, but you just took you forever to work up the courage to do it because you're worried about this crab in the bucket thing where people will hate you if you're even a little bit good at it. You'll know what I'm talking about. And that's just one example. I've known people that were grossly overweight for a long time and they hated themselves, and they it was like, okay, you could say there's something I dislike about myself. I'm actively working on changing it or not or whatever. But to equate your entire being of everything that you are just to that one thing you hate about yourself is incredibly self-destructive. There are things I hate about myself. There are videos I watch of myself years later and I'm like, oh my God, what an idiot. I look like an idiot. What was I doing? The lighting was horrible or whatever. How was the lighting, by the way? It's gotten dark in here. Whatever. Who cares? We all do this. We all do this self-analysis, but we tend to do it only in the negative sense. So the moment you try to not be negative about yourself and you go, you know what? And back to this person, I'm going to go and I realize that this is unhealthy. This can lead to all kinds of problems, like in terms of my health. I need to take control of my health, and not just so that I can not die, but also so that I can feel good about myself, and not because I'm trying to go to some society's standard of what health is or anything like that. It's just because you, for whatever reason, you're like, I'm not happy with this. I want to change it, right? It could be the other way. Maybe you're not eating enough food and you're skinny as a rail and you're lacking energy and you look like a Skeletor and you're not happy with it anymore. And you got low energy, and then therefore your mind isn't working efficiently. And therefore you're probably in some state of depression, and you've probably got some kind of disorder. And the moment you investigate what's the root of this disorder, or what's the root of this, the reason I'm torturing myself, why am I hurting myself in any way? I'm coming up with really just vague examples here, but like in any way that you're hurting yourself instead of helping yourself, you've got to get to the root of it. And the moment you try to do that and you become a little bit successful, and maybe you lose a little bit of weight, or you change something about your life, or you increase your income, or you quit that job and start that project you've always talked about, or you do anything that is changing your life, expect haters and losers and victims to come out of the woodworks from places that you didn't even expect. You didn't even expect it. Usually it comes from the people that are closest to you, because they were happy keeping you in the category in their brain as somebody that's struggling and somebody that's less than them. And they can sit there and just sort of feel good about themselves and piggyback off of your own misery so that they can feel better about themselves. And the moment you try to rise above that, you're hurting their own self-esteem. And isn't that interesting? There we go. That's what I want to get to the bottom of. What does it matter to you what I do with my life? Why is it so concerning for you what I'm doing and my choices are and what I choose to talk about and what I choose to post about and what I choose to say, the way I choose to do it, the way I go about my business, the way I go about securing my family, the way I go about achieving my goals? What does it matter to you? There's 7 billion people running around on this planet. You got to ask yourself, why are you so obsessed with me? Why don't you point even a fraction of that towards yourself and see what happens? The hate you project on other people is actually, definitively, demonstrably projected self-hate. It has nothing to do with the other person. What if I told you that? It has nothing to do with the other person. You think it does. You think you're just sitting there going, eh. But no, it has nothing to do with that. So you need to understand the psychology behind these people so that you can be free of worrying about what other people think about you. Because you're not going to budge an inch in any area of your life and gain any level of success if you're struggling with dealing with the opinions of other people. The fact that you're obsessed with that proves open and shut. Thanks for coming out. We're done here. It proves it. And if you recognize that as such, you're free. You're free of these crabs in the bucket that are trying to drag you down the moment you're trying to climb out and free yourself and liberate yourself and have a happy life and follow your dreams and go after it. Who is anybody to tell you what you do with your life? This is the strongest message in philosophy, in my opinion. And this is what liberates you, is that freedom is your natural state. And the moment you get into this life, you will realize that the world is trying to change you into something that you otherwise would not have been. They're trying to change you into the status quo. And the status quo ain't looking too pretty these days, guys. So in a world of confusion, and confusion happens when you have no points of anchor. Confusion happens when you have no points of, you have no values, you have no philosophy, you have no direction. That's what philosophy is. Philosophy means love of wisdom, end of discussion. So when you hear people saying, oh, it's the age, these intellectuals, these freaking guys that are stuck in their books, it's the age of science and philosophy is dead. We don't need it. We don't need philosophy. So you're saying we don't need the love of wisdom? Is that what you're saying? The love of wisdom got us to the scientific age, mofo. You don't just dump it. If you dump it, do you realize what you're dumping with it? Yeah, we can critique people's philosophies. Like say, okay, I posted a quote from Nietzsche the other day. He just had a way with words. Love him or hate him, agree with every point of his philosophy or not. There's not one single philosopher that I'm wholly in agreement with, but that's the point of philosophy. The point of philosophy is to challenge the status quo. The point of philosophy is to question. The point of philosophy is to bring all knowledge back to the self. So you're going to get a bit of good and a light and dark, yin and yang, in the philosophies of different people. You don't have to agree with everything Nietzsche said. You don't have to agree with all points of his philosophy, but don't tell me, oh, he was an idiot. No, you're an idiot. Just because you said that, you're an idiot. You couldn't do half of it. How's your room looking right now? It's probably a bloody mess. How's your financial situation? Probably a bloody mess. You're probably mooching and leeching off everybody you know. You're probably trying to gain an unfair advantage in so many areas of your life. And you're the one that's going to sit there and critique a philosopher that changed the discussion of history? And again, whether you take all those arguments on board or not, I've talked a lot about Ayn Rand, or I've talked a lot about, so many, Plato, Aristotle. We've talked about so many philosophers, Bruce Lee, these martial arts. It's the same thing in the martial art world. Same thing in religion, same thing everywhere. This tribalism and this, my God is better than your God. My philosophy is better than your philosophy. My way of doing things is better than your way of doing things. It's all driven by narcissism and being fake. And it's driven by losers. Losers who do not do the due diligence of actually reading these people's works, understanding them, then taking their own experience in and putting it all together and coming up with their own personal philosophy. They don't want to do that. That takes too long. It's taken me my whole life, and it'll take the rest of my life to be able to keep doing it. It's an ongoing process. People don't want to do it. They want quick answers. The moment they see you as thinking for yourself, they're like, whoa, why are you thinking for yourself, man? Get the hell back here and start thinking like the rest of us. Otherwise, I'm going to start to look at you as a threat. So I'm here to encourage you to be unique. I'm here to encourage you to do your own investigation independent of all the critiques that you have other people. Like if the first thing you're doing when you look at a philosopher or an idea or you heard someone say something, you go, well, I'm going to look that person up. And you read opinion pieces first without reading the source first. You'll never get any wisdom in your life. Philosophy will be dead to you. And this all does relate to your level of self-value, because if you don't value yourself, you will not value others. You will not value others. People that sat there for people that lived, okay, so people that lived in an age before all the shit that we have that we take for granted, that lived in incredibly and excruciatingly hard times that we cannot even fathom or imagine, that they decided to rise above survival of the fittest and kill or be killed for 2 seconds to think about meaning and life and history and solutions and how we can improve the situation in the world by improving things at the individual level. It's like, you can't just improve the body. You have to go down to the cellular structure of your being to understand how health works and how disease works. You got to go down to the individual white blood cells and red blood cell level. And you can go right even through that and come out on the other end of the universe. And you'll go, oh, okay, yeah, there's a bigger picture here. And it's important to, if you're going to have a collective of people or a team of people, it's important that they each individually are self-powered, have self-esteem, have self-value. Therefore, they will contribute greatly to this collective effort or this team effort. Look at a hockey team, look at a baseball team. And so we have to value this. We have to understand how this works, in my opinion. So, well, I've been going for a bit. It's kind of turned into a rant. Sorry. I hope that made some sense. I hope that added some value to you. I had a couple slides, but before I get into the slides, let me show you this article that I'm going to talk a little bit about here that I was sent by somebody. Thank you for sending it. I won't name your name, but you know who you are. This comes from a personal growth website, and I know nothing about the author. I just came across this article, and it's How to Be Kind to Yourself, Stop Chasing Self-Confidence. Okay, now this article is kind of a mixed bag, and I think in some senses this person is just equating definitions incorrectly, in my opinion. And they, you know, some of the ideas I can understand, but others are just absolutely ridiculous in my view. Okay. So here we go, real quick. I'm asked this question way too often from both readers and people who attend my workshop. Self-reflection makes them realize they are ruthless on themselves, all the way from leadership gurus to the media. Everyone is trying to trick us into confidence nonsense, or into this confidence nonsense. You have to look good and feel good to conquer the world, they tell you. Right there, he's already looking at it in a superficial sense. What's driving everyone anxious is this: no matter how hard you try, no matter how successful you are, no matter how good you are, it's never enough. So already the definition of this person's idea of what self-esteem and what confidence is and what it can give and the importance of it is just not there. The be more confident advice is hurting us. The more we try to boost our confidence, the more damage we cause, really. So we should all just lie back and take it like a victim. Stretching beyond your comfort zone is one thing. Being harsh on yourself is another. Not understanding the difference between the two hinders your potential as well as your relationships. Okay. So this is getting a little more balanced, you know, understanding your comfort zone. Being harsh on yourself is a totally different thing. I'm obviously not an advocate for you to overly criticize yourself for failing at something or for not achieving the life that you want or anything like that. Like, you can obviously go to the other extreme. Clearly, this is all basic stuff. The self-esteem trap is dangerous. Our culture is rooted in high self-esteem. You have to be special, unique, and above average. Well, you have to be special and unique because you are special and unique. It comes with the package. We're not making you special and unique. You are special and unique. And in fact, it's this constant rhetoric about how special, unique, individual, all these people are just selfish jerks, and our society should just go into some kind of like big hive-minded, collectivistic, communistic system where everybody's equal and there's no differences between us anymore. Like, this is literally the worldview of a lot of people right now. And I'm shocked by it. Like, I feel like I'm reading something out of a futuristic dystopic novel, not an actual opinion by a person that is reading to millions of people and writing for millions of people. There's a reason our culture is rooted in high self-esteem. That's why the Western culture skyrocketed ahead of many other cultures. It's not because of the people or the races or the genders or any of these things. It has to do with ideas. Ideas are what create a person, and ideas are what create a society. He says, this pressure is false pretentious. False pretentious. I don't know what that is. By trying to become special in the eyes of others, here we go. We turn acceptance into a moving target. We will never fulfill other people's expectations, neither our own. So already this guy has no idea about what self-esteem and confidence is actually all about. It has nothing to do with acceptance of others whatsoever. Self-esteem is a deceiving trap. Once you get caught in it, it's almost impossible to set yourself free. Whoosh. We are experiencing a narcissistic epidemic. Here we go, right into the narcissism. The equation of self-esteem and self-value and individuality and self and uniqueness is a narcissistic epidemic. We are rewarding and promoting vanity. Well, here we go. We're promoting vanity. So the guy's idea here is this. Maybe this is just coming down to his definitions, but it's pretty crazy to use this term in this way and to be irresponsible with it, to say that it's all about vanity and it's all about narcissism, and we have a narcissism epidemic, where I'm arguing that we have a narcissistic and vanity epidemic because of the lack of self-esteem, not because of self-esteem itself, but because of the lack of uniqueness, not because of more uniqueness. It's not surprising that selfies have become mainstream. So here we go. Like, nothing wrong with selfies. The narcissistic trap is the problem. So this article should have been entitled A Critique of Narcissism. Like, not self-esteem is a dangerous trap. Confidence is a dangerous trap. It makes us feel like we just have to impress other people and it's never good enough. And when we fail, we don't come out with any sense of how we feel about ourselves. It forces you to compare yourself to others instead of becoming your own standard. It's a continuous comparison that creates the two most poisonous emotions, envy and jealousy. Dude, you want to talk envy and jealousy? You overestimate your abilities. The desire to overpower others takes over. So I'm not even going to continue with this because, and thank you to the person that sent it to me. I appreciate it. And I'm a little bit critical of this person's writing because it's just, it's making my skin crawl because it's just missing, in my opinion, it's missing the picture. It's missing the boat. There's no clear definition of terms. And it's doing a lot of jumping and equating to things that are not related at all to self-esteem. I'm here to tell you that self-esteem is very simple. Okay. It is a concept of self-value. It is an understanding that you are competent to cope with the basic challenges of life. It is understanding that you must put your own oxygen mask on first before assisting others. It is understanding that in a world where people do lack any kind of love for wisdom, no philosophy, no direction, to tell those people that self-esteem is dangerous is to put them in default to the victim mentality. I'm a victim of society. You're not a victim of society. What about that? Why don't we say that to people? What have we told kids? You're not a victim of society. Yeah, there's a lot of crazy stuff going on in society. Yeah, there's a lot of things that, but what is society? This was a question Krishnamurti asked. What is society? It's made up of who and what? Huh? You, me, individuals, people that make life choices and that exercise their will or choose not to, that brighten their consciousness or choose not to, that actively make choices that help themselves and are good for themselves or actively avoid those choices. And we need to get to the root as to why people think and operate in that way that may can contribute to the sick society we're talking about. You're not a victim. You're not a victim. Even if you're a victim of a crime, you could say, okay, I was a victim of a mugging. I've been mugged before. I've had people threaten my life. I've been in life and death situations a couple times in my life. It's scary as hell. And it's like, oh my God, yeah, I was a victim. I was victimized. But then when you really zoom out, you go, yeah, yeah. Somebody saw me as an easy target and they came after me and I was victimized, but I'm not going to choose to live the rest of my life as this victim. I need to go to all these support groups. I need to constantly wear that t-shirt and walk around and get all this fake sympathy from people. It's all fake sympathy. Nobody really cares about you. At the end of the day, now there's people that care, but they don't really care. They care, but they care enough to care about their stake and their reward in it, right? So, you know, just remember that. Like, people love victims because then they get to come in and play the savior and they get to feel like they're doing something with themselves. And when you're constantly helping everybody else and ignoring helping yourself, you end up leaving things in a mess. So to start telling people, oh, self-esteem is a trap and it's a dangerous thing, is itself a trap and a dangerous thing, in my opinion. So let's get into, how about this? Instead of looking at self-esteem for what it is and the definitions, like what I did in the last show, let's look at what self-esteem is not. How much time we got here? I'll go a couple more minutes and then I'll save a couple juicy tidbits for my amazing patrons over at Patreon, because I love you guys and it's easier for me to just produce this all in one shot and then differentiate it. I want to make sure you get something special because you're amazing and you're supporting this work and you're allowing me to do this and helping me be able to finance this and keep me incentivized. And then obviously I love all the people that are here watching this free content. I give it to you freely, no problem. And you know, I hope it benefits you. But let's talk about what it's not. So we have to understand motivation. So here's a little definition for you. If you wish to understand a person's basic motivation, if you wish to understand the roots of the values and goals that direct someone's behavior, the most fundamental question you have to know the answer to is, what is the nature and degree of one's self-esteem or lack of it? This holds the key to one's motivation or lack thereof. And then my second slide, I've only got two slides today, is a definition of counterfeit self-esteem. So let's look at what self-esteem is not. What's the antithesis to self-esteem? What's the if self-esteem was the protagonist in a novel, what would the antagonist be all about? Counterfeit self-esteem is this. It's an illogical fabrication of self-value. This fabrication is a neurotic psychological mechanism which replaces healthy self-value as an attempt to diminish anxiety and provide an artificial sense of security. So everybody experiences anxiety. Everybody has moments of depression. Everybody has moments of feeling down and out and low confidence and all that kind of stuff. We all accept that, okay? The antidote to that is the real deal, the authentic, healthy self-value mechanism. And that is something you have to develop and you have to train it and you have to create it. If you don't do that, the default setting will be this. It'll be counterfeit self-esteem, which produces all the shit that guy was writing about in his article. So what he was talking about was counterfeit self-esteem, not the real deal. To continue in this definition, it says it arises out of a need to alleviate one's need of authentic self-esteem while allowing the real causes of its lack to be evaded. So it's a cop-out. It's an escape mechanism. It's a defense mechanism. It's natural. It's understandable. It is just something that you, if you want to be successful in life, you want to be happy and fulfilled in life, more importantly. To me, that's what's like when I say success, my definition of success is holistic. It's all spheres of your life. You're being successful, and success doesn't mean perfect. It doesn't mean an overestimation of yourself. It doesn't mean being a narcissist. It doesn't mean just having millions of dollars, a bunch of cars, and a bunch of babes. It doesn't mean any of those things. Those are all definitions that fall into this category of counterfeit self-esteem. So it arises out of a need to alleviate one's need. It's that we have a need for authentic self-value and self-esteem. So basically, we just have a need to connect with who we are and what we are. And when we use these fake escapisms to get out of it, to cheat ourselves, we allow the real causes of our feelings of anxiety and lack of self-worth and impotence and self-hate, we allow the real causes to be evaded. And that is not healthy. In order to heal anything, you need to be honest with yourself. You need to confront your demons. You need to face your adversity. Then you achieve success and happiness and self-worth. Doing the opposite of that, which would be to actively avoid this process, results in bum, 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 all the negative traits of the worst things that we hate in human beings and in ourselves. And self-hate itself, that's what it ends up with. And that's not a good place to go because we know where that ends. We know where that road ends, don't we, people? We know where that road ends. Look at the suicide statistics. Look at the depression statistics. Look at the statistics of people psychologically, man. Look at it. It speaks for itself. We're doing something wrong. So the fact that this is a default setting in the absence of true self-esteem alone demonstrates clearly the need for the development of healthy and authentic self-esteem. Does that make sense? Does that, I mean, what do you think about that? Am I off base here? Am I missing something? Like, and there's this other thing with self-esteem that just, the minute you use the word self, like we're so, at every word we use, we're just, oh my God, he said self. He must be an enemy. Like, I'm like, no. Hold on. And if you go out and you're actually trying to be successful and try to cultivate this stuff I'm talking about, you're going to be hated. Why would you be hated for bettering yourself? What kind of world do we live in? What kind of people are walking around here? What kind of creatures we got walking around here that hate you and go out of their way to hate on you? And spend time, money, and energy to try to drag you down. Who has that level of commitment? Why do they hate you so much? Because you stand for everything that they wish they had, that they know deep down that their imperial self is screaming at them from the basement that they've drowned a long time ago to do for themselves. And what they can't do for themselves, they want you to do for them. This is what victim mentality is what loser mentality is. Loser mentality is not failing something. Loser mentality is failing and giving up and never doing it again because you failed. And then anybody that decides to try it, maybe fail, but then get up and continue to do it until they make it right. You're like, ah, oh, you're a fucking selfish prick. Who the hell do you think you are? Blah, 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 blah. And on we go. And it's just like, you just get the worst of people. Okay, the sun just popped out. Give me one quick second. All right. So, how about this? We went an hour. I'm probably gonna do another 30 minutes or so. See, I've still got some time. On the other side of this, but look, I'll even put some articles. I had some good, articles to reference. I don't want to go through all of them. I'll just let you read them. But like, basically, if you think of haters, you think of people that hate you because you've improved. Okay. If you're surpassing people in your progress, because you know you're not surpassing people just because it's like people have this view of if you're surpassing them in something, like you're getting happier or you're getting more fit or you're more successful in what you're doing. If you start surpassing their perception of where they're at and you start to trail away, there's this perception that you think you're better. That's why you're doing it. You think you're better than them. The reason you're trying to be successful is because you think you're better than people. The reason you're putting yourself out there is because you think you're better than people. The reason you, and the only way you achieve success was because you stomped on other people. This is how losers think. This is how they wake up in the morning. This is how they go to bed at night. This is out of their Bible. Reject that. It's nonsense. It comes from everything I've just described to you. Your improvement is going to bother people. Keep that in mind. Be warned. Be forewarned. Yeah, people passed on you, so now they hate you. So people often get sort of this romantic idea of you. They create a sort of artificial reality version of you, like an avatar version of you, in their head. And then everything you do, say, all the accomplishments you have or the failures you have, they just put that in these very general categories of stereotypes into that avatar character they've created of you in their mind. And then that's who they talk to when they talk to you. They don't talk to the real you. And the real them isn't talking to the real you. Wouldn't that be nice if real you was talking to real me? That would be great. We would have an amazing conversation. But if it's fake me talking to a fake representation of you, a straw man representation of you, why do you think relationships, conversations, everything breaks down so quickly? Somebody's not rowing the boat. Somebody's missing out there. You know, maybe both people. I don't know. You know? What else would I got? Oh, yeah. You weren't supposed to become anything. You weren't supposed to be. So if somebody's going in a downward spiral in their life, it stands to reason that they're going to hate on you if you're not going on a downward. If you're going on an upward spiral, don't go telling people about it. If things are amazing, don't tell people it's amazing. If you're happy, don't tell people you're happy. I mean, if you value your privacy and you don't want to have a bunch of leeches and people looking at you with those jealous eyes all the time, just don't go through the headache. Just keep it monotone, okay? I used to be all like, oh, I'll just be myself at all times. No, man, you got to be careful with that. You got to be careful who you let in and you know, just keep your victories to yourself. Keep your victories to yourself. You don't need, if you really did achieve something worth having, do you really need everybody's praise for it? Really? Like, if you need everybody's praise, I mean, we all want recognition for our accomplishments. I always feel good when I'm like my wife, she is so amazing at recognizing me for my accomplishments, and she keeps me feeling good about myself, and I keep her feeling good about herself, and we have a really good dynamic in that regard. Okay. It's very balanced, but that can get out of balance really quick. So if you're surrounded by people that are living a loser lifestyle, and then you decide, you know what, loser lifestyle isn't for me, I'm going to go make something of myself, don't expect applause. Expect boos. Yeah, you stepped away from the nonsense, but the haters and the losers didn't. They didn't. They made different life choices. They applied their will incorrectly. I talked in the last show about correct use of your knowledge in your mind and the incorrect usage of it. The moment you try to do things correctly, and fix your life when it's broken. And the haters around you aren't, who are, they're nice people, they're well-meaning people, whatever. Holy, just watch out for that volcano to erupt. And don't be surprised with it, and don't feel shame for it, and don't entertain it and enable that. Let those people wallow in their own self-pity and envy. There's a reason envy is one of the seven deadly sins. It's deadly because it doesn't condemn you to some fiery pit of hell when you die. That's stupid. It condemns you to hell while you're alive. And it puts you in a mindset where you need to now drag everybody into hell with you. That's why. I think envy is one of the greatest sins. It stems from, all the other sins stem from it. And people will look at you as a traitor. They'll look at you as a traitor for becoming more self-sufficient. And you know, when you get this notion in people, when people talk to you about this, they instantly equate, you know, any kind of level of self-esteem or the word self in general with some kind of, as if you're now stamping on the faces of everybody around you now or something, or you're some kind of egotistical prick. Just, you got to realize that people have not been educated about this. They don't hear this stuff. They don't read these books. They don't have this. This isn't what's blaring through the radio. What's blaring through the radio is, I need you and you complete me, and without you, I'm nothing. That's what's blaring through the radio all the time. All the songs. I'm nothing without you. Without everybody, I'm nothing. That's the propaganda. That's the biggest conspiracy of all time. That is how you keep a power differential over people, by keeping them in loser mentality, by keeping them the mob, by keeping them as just a faceless Borg-like cyborg in the crowd. You, if you want power and control, holy crap, just start reading from some of the dictators and rulers and some of the most evil psychopaths and people in history, and you'll start to get an idea about how the mindset I'm talking to you about, which seems a little bit innocent in the beginning, where you're like, oh, that person just, they don't love themselves. Let's feel sorry for them. And they're not that bad. They're just going to just leave them alone. They'll just wallow in their own self-pity and won't affect the world. Well, yeah, if you put that mindset and combine it with a little bit of psychopathy and a little bit or a lot of money, power, and influence, you're dealing with a virus that has gotten out to a degree that is incalculable. And look at the damage. Look at the historical damage. Look, there's so many examples. When you look at things through this lens, when you see the world from this lens, it will make sense. For once in your life, it will make sense. And when you then have the courage, it takes courage to do this, guys. I know it's not a comfortable conversation to have with yourself, but when you analyze your failings from this lens, you will get some clarity, but it's going to be tough because you're going to have to admit to yourself that the failure, first of all, tell yourself the failure that you had didn't happen because you have no worth as a human being. Get that shit out of your head. You have worth. If you're living and breathing, I don't care who you are, what you've been through, you have value. Your life has value. You wouldn't be alive if it didn't. You're an expression of all that is and ever was. I believe that, and I think it's healthy to believe that. But if you equate your failing with excuses, you'll never correct the failing. Because yeah, because there's always other people in the mix. There's always circumstances that are outside of your control that are in the mix. But it's all about how you approach that and the mindset by which you go to those things with. It's all about that. It's all about the foundation of your being, the foundation of your values, the foundation of your personal philosophy, and how you go out and greet the world. One of the most brilliant things, again, I'll quote him, Michael Tesserian said, that really turned me on to what he was talking about, was the world is never going to give you meaning. Stop waiting for the world meaning not Earth, but like the world, the collective of people, okay? The world is what human beings have sort of created it into. The world will never give you meaning. Meaning is something that you bring forward from within yourself. It's something you cultivate from within yourself, and you bring that meaning to the world. It's not the other way around. You contribute your meaning to the world. If you're waiting for the world to give you meaning, you don't hold your breath. You'll be waiting forever. So find a way to create meaning in your life. Find a way to find balance with this, okay? Because yeah, the extreme of analyzing the self and propping yourself up and working on yourself, the extreme obviously could be, oh, I got a quote from someone or a comment. It could be I hate when that happens. I got distracted. What was I saying? So basically you bring meaning to the world from within yourself. And oh God, I trailed off. Sorry about that, guys. Too many things popping up here. Oh, someone was just saying, thanks for the amazing episode. Brilliant. Continue the great work. Okay, thank you, Barbara. You're awesome. Look. Let me just wrap this up. I'm getting a little bit, it's been going for a bit. This subject makes my brain hurt after a little while. I'm going to take a quick little break and then I'm going to record the duration of this. We're going to cover a few more elements of this that I think are really, really important. I'm going to continue this over for my patrons. Thanks for tuning in. I love you guys. I want the best. All I want to do is help. This also helps me and I hope it helps you. So leave me your comments, leave me your feedback. Stop waiting for the world to give you meaning. Bring meaning to the world from within yourself. And don't let your life be dictated to you by others when you know that the majority of other people around you do not understand this. They do not understand you. They are not you. And so you have to become the best judge of what you want to do with your life and what you don't want to do with your life. You have to have the strength to make your own decisions. You have to have the courage to face yourself. When you can face yourself, you can face the world. If you can't face yourself, when you face the world, you'll face it with a weak mind and a weak body and a weak spirit. I don't want you to face it like that. I don't want myself to face it like that. I want to face it with some strength. I want to face it like a warrior of life. I want to face it and I want to make it a better place than when I entered it. That is the entire mission here. That's why truth is the whole key. Truth sets you free. Not truth is ponies and rainbows and it sounds good and feels good. It's truth sets you free. So freedom is your goal. Mental freedom, freedom of every part of your being. You have to apply courage and you have to seek the truth. And the truth is hard to look at, but it's important to look at. And you'll never gain truth about the world or about other people if you don't know how to learn about the truth about yourself. So let's leave on that note. Thanks, everybody. I will catch you next time. Cheers.